Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be kind of putting the finishing touches, if you will, on this thing of studying church membership and what it means to be a part of a local church, the value of it and the purpose of it and the things that we're working on. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and let's begin together in verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in this flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, last time that we spoke, we talked about guidelines for a teacher and what a teacher would be and in the local church and what we should be as a Sunday school teacher, someone who is overseeing young people or even adults. Maybe it's then there are different types of classes. There can be a ladies' class, and guess what? They can have a lady teacher. That's okay. There can be children's classes. There can be teen classes. There can be adult classes. There can be married couples classes. There could be singles classes. We even had a class when I was a part of the church in Arlington. They had a singles again class, a class for people that had been part of relationships, but then were no longer part of relationships. You know, those people need ministering too. There's all kinds of classes. There's new convert classes. There's discipleship classes. There's lots of different types of Sunday school opportunity or ministry opportunities that a church can have. And you say, well, why don't we have all those classes? Well, there either isn't a need or there isn't someone to fill that need, if you will, because guess what? We need responsible and the right kind of teachers. So we talked about these things last time, but we talked about how there needs to be the proper spirit and attitude as a teacher. Teaching is a gift from God. Everybody okay with that? That is a spiritual gift that God gives, the gift of teaching. And listen, pastors are supposed to be apt to teach. I was telling one of our new missionaries he's becoming a pastor over in Newcomb, New Mexico, and he was asking me, hey, Brother Combs, help me out. I'm kind of new, just graduating from Bible college, things. I said, he goes, I want to be a better teacher as a pastor, and I said, well, that's great. I said, because pastors are supposed to be teachers. I said, but always remember this: teaching is meant to impart or pass on information from one person to another. Okay, it's at a knowledge level. We want you to know this. That's teaching. Okay, preaching has to do with the knowledge, has to do with those things, but it's meant to bring people to a point of decision. Okay, so in teaching, I just want you to know this stuff. In preaching, I want you to decide something because you know this stuff. Okay, that's kind of the elevation of preaching, if you will. All right. So that's why I like to say about me that my preaching gets teachy and my teaching gets preachy. Okay. So that's kind of how I work. I'm kind of a complex hybrid of sorts. All right. Maybe somewhat of a paradox. Okay. But the spirit and attitude of the teacher needs to be right. Hey, the Christian behavior needs to be right in a Sunday school teacher or someone that's teaching people. Leaders and church servants should be right in their behavior. And as our text states, there's a way that we ought to behave ourselves, if you will, in the house of God. But if I may have a little liberty, outside of the house of God too. Because guess what? When are we supposed to be Christians? Amen. You are a great congregation. Let's pray and go home. We're done. That's it. All the time. We are bought with a price, not some of the time, all of the time. We're supposed to be a living sacrifice all of the time, not some of the time. We're supposed to be godly and separated and all those things all the time. Way long time ago, Brother Lassiter asked me to preach the Sunday before Christmas vacation for the school and the college. And it was a Sunday night service right before vacation was beginning. And so I preached a message the title of it was "Don't Take a Vacation on God." It's okay to go on vacation, but don't set aside your Christian principles and your walk with God and the way you live just because you're going on vacation. Well, I'm going on vacation, so I can do this now. And when God's, you know, there's no freebies. Okay, there's no free passes. There's no, oh, this is a zone over here where once a year I can not be a Christian and I don't have to worry about it. Rachel's not here tonight. That's stupid. I really am trying to help. That's not smart. Okay? No, we want to be a Christian all the time. And listen, church leaders should not be involved with things that are detrimental to a Christian's testimony. You can read Romans 12, Ephesians 4 through 6. Those are all good guidelines for Christian behavior inside and outside of the church. And so we talked about those things. And then we talked about that the King James Bible, is the Word of God. There are no alternatives, folks. Okay? None. Different languages, maybe. But that, I'm okay with that. But as far as the English language is concerned, no alternatives. And we're not going to use them. By the way, I don't go looking through the ESV, the NIV, the NASB. I don't go looking for them saying, well, what did my King James Bible miss that I could glean from these other versions? I don't do that. I know there's some preachers that do that. I'm sorry, I don't do that. Because I don't need those books. Those are not what I need. This is what I need. God gave me this. This is good enough. Okay? Now, I'll look up Greek words. I'll look up Hebrew words to understand the depth of the English words. That's great. But this is God's word for us. And we need to make sure that we don't use anything else or reference anything else unless you're trying to show people why those other ones are wrong. That's the only time that's okay. You know, as a Sunday school teacher, you might say, okay, here's what the King James says. Now here's what the NIV says. Here's what the ESV says. And this is why these are wrong and this is right. So in that context, that's okay. But we need to make sure that we're doing those things. Punctuality, we talked about that. We talked about faithfulness to church. And we talked about being a soul winner at heart. Being involved in winning people to Christ. If you're going to be concerned enough with teaching people, you also need to be concerned enough with winning people to Christ. Seeing lost souls come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then we kind of close things out by saying, by accepting a ministry position at Lighthouse Baptist Church, you are agreeing to abide by these basic guidelines. Again, this is not some kind of legalistic requirement, but they're simply principles to promote unity and raise a standard of excellence for the ministry here at our church. And remember, we serve a great God. He deserves a great church. And those are things that are true. And so we kind of ended up with that as we went along. I want to read to you a letter. It says this. It says, "Dear Sunday School staff member, the Sunday School of Lighthouse Baptist Church is the working arm of our church. It is the backbone and strength of our church. The Sunday School is designed to reach men and women, boys and girls, with the gospel, lead them to follow the Lord in baptism, and then train them for the service in the Lord's work. The Sunday School is the primary and best tool for discipleship of new believers. The Sunday School is not just on Sunday, but it is one that works throughout the week, preparing for the meeting time on Sunday. It is a high honor to be a teacher of the Word of God in a Sunday School class. It is a privilege and a sacred trust. What is more important than the teaching of God's Word to the souls of men, women, boys, and girls
that will one day live forever in either heaven or hell. Therefore, it is not just an honor, but it is a great responsibility. Every teacher will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer the Lord for their faithfulness as a teacher. So let us be faithful so that we will not have to be ashamed. Our Sunday school is an all-Bible Sunday school. We teach from an open Bible. The Bible is our textbook. Teachers will be given subjects and lesson helps and curriculum, but it is each teacher's responsibility to take those helps and develop a lesson from the Bible to teach the class. We teach only from the King James Bible. We do not correct the King James Bible or use other versions of the Bible. This only causes confusion. We have unusual opportunities here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. God has placed us in good facilities with plenty of room for growth. We are in a prime location in a growing community. And God has blessed our church in many ways. So let's work together to take advantage of the opportunities that God has given us to reach our area for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Doesn't that sound good? I didn't write that. Pastor Asbury wrote that. And that's what he wrote as an introduction to Sunday school teachers. And can I say to you, I agree with what he said. This is the level of our growth in our Christian life where we think it's good enough to pass on to somebody else. And listen, if we think it's good enough to pass on to somebody else or right to pass on to somebody else, then let's just live that way all the time. You see, I'm a pastor here in front of you tonight, but when I go home and at 11:30 I'm eating my bowl of ice cream in my bed, because I do that from time to time, I'm still a pastor. I am. And while I'm sleeping, I'm still a pastor. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm still a pastor. And when I go drop my son off to work and I get my coffee and I stop into McDonald's to get a sausage McMuffin and a hash brown, I'm still the pastor. Would you come to church, ma'am? Sir, would you come to church? Come visit us sometime. Thank you for the coffee. Thank you for the heart attack in a bag. Thank you very much. Would you come see us sometime? Hey, yeah, I know they want to get those people through the line and they're honking at you. I don't have time to give a 15-minute gospel presentation to them. I wish I did. I mean, I wish I could, but I'm not going to steal from McDonald's, you know. I'm not going to steal the employer's time. But I can say, here, would you read this, please? Or, hey, would you come see us sometime? We're right down the road. We're not far away. I'm a pastor. When I go to Walmart, I'm a pastor. And I've been ashamed of this. When I'm experiencing road rage, I'm a pastor. Don't say those things. You know, I have to remind myself when I get mad at people. But listen, we are Christians everywhere we go. And if you choose to be a Sunday school teacher, you have a desire to be a Sunday school teacher, then live what you teach. I mean, how many of you are kind of told as far as your jobs or your career paths, you better believe in the company you're working for. I remember when I was in Bible college, I was a salesperson for True Green. Back then it was True Green Chemlon. They dropped the Chemlon part. Now they're just True Green. But when we were selling, I needed to believe in the services I was selling. Otherwise, am I going to be a very good salesperson? No. And so, listen, folks, if we're going to be a teacher of God's Word, we've got to believe in what we're telling them. And so much that we're going to be willing to live it in our own lives every day. You know, you get up in front of kids and you say, hey, you ought to pray. Then we should pray. Or, oh, we ought to, you know, say no to this kind of sin. Then say no to this kind of sin. Oh, we need to say please and thank you. Well, then say please and thank you. Or we should be kind and forgiving and loving even when people cut you off in traffic. Yes, we need to do that. Right? And that's what needs to happen, okay? Now, as we continue on this subject, I want to talk about some of the responsibilities that a teacher has. One responsibility that teachers have is winning children to Christ. This is a very near and dear. There's a fly in my Bible. Okay. I just looked down and saw that. Now, this is something near and dear to my heart because of my own children. You know, I believe we need to be very careful when working with children. Children are naturally wanting to please people. Okay? That's what they naturally want to do. And I have heard so many stories. I've even experienced this, if you will, in my own children, and I've experienced it through other people that I've taught and had time to deal with. There are lots of stories of young people that at a young age they came forward to an altar, or a Sunday school teacher led them in a prayer, or something like that, and later on in life, they realized that what they did in the past wasn't real. It wasn't sincere, if you will. And by the way, I'm not into talking people out of their salvation, okay? But if I can talk you out of it, then perhaps you were not saved in the past, okay? But you can get saved today. I have a young man that I had a chance to teach in school. I had a chance to teach him in Bible college. And about halfway through, I think it was his sophomore or junior year, I can't remember which one exactly, he comes down the aisle and just in tears saying, he came right to me and he said, "Brother Combs, I'm not saved, I need to get saved." I mean, he had a bus route, he's preaching in children's church, you know, and I'm like, okay. I mean, who am I to question what he's saying? And so we knelt down on the altar, I prayed and I looked at him and I said, "All right, you know what to do. You ask Christ to save you." And he prayed and he asked Christ to save him. Folks, listen. It's just important that we're careful with young people. And a teacher, and don't be afraid of it. Don't be gun shy because of it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we need to be careful when working with children concerning the gospel. Because God forbid that we ever give someone a false sense of salvation or a false sense of security concerning salvation. It should be very clear. Okay? So here's some guidelines that we can use as teachers, as leadership in the church, to be careful winning people to Christ. And by the way, this doesn't just apply to children. We can use this for really anybody. People can be saved as soon as they reach the age of accountability. You all understand age of accountability, that kind of thing. That's a biblical principle, and that's something that we believe. But children raised in good Christian homes where they're taught the Bible and things like that, they know of God, they know about God. Little Flora, she's been just wandering around either at the table or just wandering around the house. Or in the car, she just breaks out in song. "I saw Jesus in you." You know, that's the last song they sang. And she's 3 years old and she sings whatever. And then she bursts into, what? The First Noel. Yeah. And then she makes up her own words to the First Noel. Okay. But we teach our dear little children about Jesus early. They're hearing about it in the nursery. They're hearing about it in the Tiny Tots class. They're hearing about it in the beginner's class. They hear it everywhere they go in our homes. We're praying. You know, we have prayer time or Bible study time or whatever we have. You understand that they're going to already know a lot of things about what we're talking about. Okay? Children, they hear everything. They do. Now, they pretend that they don't sometimes, right? But they do hear everything. And so they have a lot of knowledge. So we need to make sure that we're working with the children the best we can. When working with children and trying to share with them the Savior, be simple. Okay, be simple. Don't be confusing. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Okay? So be simple. Don't you know, go into deep doctrinal theology. Don't get out the church guidelines and go, all right, we're going to talk about the doctrine of God the Father. And now we're going to talk about the doctrine of God the Son. Okay, that can come later. They just need to understand salvation. The simple points of salvation. Okay? And so we want to keep it simple. You can start with a verse like John 3:16. That's a great place to start. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that believeth. Do you all know it? Right? That's a great place to start. And then I like to call that verse the gospel in a nutshell. You can highlight all the things about the gospel that you need to highlight in that verse. And you need to emphasize the important points of salvation. What is that? They're a sinner. And with children, this is where I start all the time, is if they cannot adequately explain to me what sin is, they're not ready. And that's okay. Because guess what? In order to be saved, you have to know you are lost. I use the example all the time out soul winning. I talk about if you were swimming in a lake, and I was swimming in a lake, and I came up behind you, grabbed you by the neck, and started dragging you to shore, what would you do? You would fight me. Why? Because you think I'm trying to drown you, right? You were minding your own business, doing your own thing, and I come and I attacked you. That's what you would think, right? But if you were out there flailing, help, 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 somebody help me. And I do the same thing. I come up behind you, I grab you around the neck area and shoulder area, and I start dragging you to shore, you're going to be thanking me. Why? Because you needed saving. And you knew you needed saving. So now I'm not an attacker. I'm a savior, right? I'm someone who's saving you. I'm a rescuer. And that's the difference. So people that need salvation, they need to know that they're lost. They need to know what sin is. That it's something against God. Okay? That they're accountable to God. If kids don't know what sin is, then we keep teaching them and keep praying for them that God convicts them of their sin so that they can come to the Savior. That's important. So if they know what sin is, then we just simply need to tell them that there's a Savior. By the way, you can use verses like for the sin, like Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8. All of these verses, they apply, right? The Romans road is a very simple pathway, if you will. It's not the only way to lead someone to Christ, but it is a good way to lead someone to Christ, if you will. But we need to let them know that, yes, they're a sinner, but there's a Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Now, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in Sunday school. I grew up in church. And when I was 8 3/4 years old, technically speaking, I was asked by my parents, Eric, have you asked Jesus to become your Savior? See, is that simple? Now, at that point in time, I knew what sin was. And I knew that Jesus was the Savior. Folks, Jesus is the Savior. But is he your Savior? You see, so many people grow up, if you will, in church, and they believe Jesus, you know, they believe that God is God and Jesus is God and Jesus is the Savior. And they believe, they know about sin and they know about these things, the devil, the hell, heaven and all this stuff. But they've never asked Jesus to save them. You know, you ask him, hey, Do you know for sure if you're going to die today, you go to heaven? Oh, yes, I know. Well, how do you know? Well, I've always known. Or when did you ask Jesus to save you? Well, he's always been my Savior. Well, that tells you they don't have a spiritual birthday. They don't have a time that they knew they were a sinner, destined for hell, and that Jesus was the Savior, and they asked Jesus to become their Savior. You know, I love to use the thief on the cross, right? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You see, he had just admitted that he was a sinner. He told, just a few moments before, he told the man right next to him who was railing on Christ, hey, you be quiet. That, by the way, this is all in the Greek. Hey, you be quiet. We deserve to die here. So he admitted his sin. He knew he was a sinner. And he looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus looked at him and said, sorry, pal, it's too late. No. No, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hey, listen, folks. We've got to keep it simple. These are just very simple, basic things. But listen, you are not just at this point teaching these kids knowledge about this stuff. You are checking for understanding. Do they understand what sin is? Do they understand who the Savior is? Do they understand God's way of salvation? I'm not making this up. This is not the Baptist way. This is God's way of salvation. And listen, there are people that say, well, Pastor, all you have to do is believe. Okay. Yes and no. The devils believe. And they're not saved. Or can be saved. Okay? So don't play that one on me. That doesn't work. We have got to be simple. But listen, kids need to know these things. And this doesn't have to take a lot of time. But here's one of the things that's important to remember as we do this. Be discerning. Be discerning. And guess what? You know what? I don't know how long we have with these kids. I mean, anybody can die at any moment in time. But you still need to do your diligence in dealing with, be careful dealing with children. I often tell people this, and I use this as a counseling tactic when I was a principal in the Christian school. I looked at this, and I used this primarily when young men would come to me wanting to maybe, you know, have a girlfriend or something like this. And I said, look, this is not the time for that kind of stuff. And they're like, well, but if I don't make her my girlfriend, somebody else will get her. Okay. That's not quite how it works. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you are careful to follow the will of God, if you are willing to wait on the Lord and follow counsel and do the right thing, will God punish you for doing right? No. No, he won't. And listen, folks, if you have a true, genuine concern for these precious little ones and are just careful that they know what they're doing, they understand, God's not going to punish you for being careful, for doing what's right. So we need to do what's right. We need to keep it simple, okay? I was at that he's the Savior, and that he can become their Savior. For whosoever shall call, right? And we teach them that, hey, look, you need to call on Christ and you need to say, Lord, save me. And I'm a sinner and I deserve hell. And listen, as they're praying that, and I always ask them, did you mean that? Because you know what? That's important. And you know what? You can tell if they meant it or not. Because here's one of the stories that I've often heard. Well, you know, this little girl wanted to be saved, and she's my best friend, so I came too. And we prayed. The teacher prayed with us. Do you see what I mean? So maybe that one little girl was earnestly seeking the Lord and under conviction to be saved, and she probably got saved, but then this other one was just a tag along. And listen, tag-alongs can be saved, but you got to explain it to them too. And as a teacher, you got to discern whether or not they're genuine in what they're doing. You know, sometimes, listen, I hate to say this, but sometimes all the kid wants is the quiet seat prize. And they think if you go and pray that they'll win the quiet seat prize. Folks, I'm not lying. That can happen if you're not careful as a teacher. You know what I'm talking about? So I'm just trying to say and emphasize to us as teachers, be careful. Be cautious. Not skeptical. Don't be a skeptic. That's not what I'm talking about. But use discernment. We have had times, my wife and I, where we've talked to some of our kids. And some of our kids have come to us and they say, well, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. And that's great. We begin the conversation. And if we don't feel like they're ready for that just yet, we keep working with them. We don't discourage them, but we don't, if you will, just, now you're saved. You know, we don't just, you know, rubber stamp them. We're very cautious. And sometimes we let that conviction build a little bit. Until they maybe, I don't remember who it was. Was it Willa, dear? Or Yadira, maybe? Do you remember? Which one? Huh? Yadira. Yeah. We kind of let her, you know, simmer a little bit. You remember that? You do? Yeah? Okay. Wave at everybody. Say hi. I'm Yadira. Okay. Because we wanted it really to grip her. So that when she called upon the Lord, she was wanting salvation. You know, and that's not an evil thing to do. That's not, we want to be sure that she knew. Do you know? Good. Listen, we need to be careful with them. Can I tell you something? This is not a numbers game. It's not a numbers game. Oh, we saw 7,000 people saved last week at our friend day. You know, it's not a numbers game. We need to be sure. Sometimes with kids, you can use picture books designed for winning children to Christ. Colors, pictures, verses, they keep their attention, things like that. They drive home the truths of the Word of God. But listen, they need to understand. Don't pressure them into a decision. Much eternal harm can be done if we give a child a false sense of salvation. We don't need to do that. And then once you're sure, lead them in a sinner's prayer. As you're praying, you know, make sure you're listening. You know, listening to their tone, to the things, the words that they're saying, and Listen, you can tell if someone's really invested in what they're doing or not, even children. And then, if you will, you know, share this with the parents. That's important. You know, you ought to go to the parents and say, look, this is the case, you know, et cetera with it. Now, it's always important for us to deal properly with these young people. In the right setting, in the right sense, in all these things, because this is a never-dying soul that needs to hear the truth about Jesus Christ and the truth of salvation. So it's very important how we deal with young people in this. The main duties and objectives of a Sunday school teacher is to teach them the Word of God, to teach them about faithfulness and attendance to Sunday school and church, to teach them Christian behavior and the Christian life. Of course, if you will, to make sure that they are saved or they know of salvation so that they can be saved. And to win other members of their families to Christ as well. You know, Sunday school is a way to reach the family. You know why we have a bus ministry? To bring in young people so that we can reach the whole family. But that's the goal. We want to reach the whole family. As brother and Mrs. Freeze are helping us with our bus ministry and visiting, they go out and they try to get kids to come on the church bus. And when they do, they're talking to mom, they're talking to dad, they're talking to grandma, they're talking to the uncle that comes by, they're talking to, I mean, why? We want to reach the whole family. And we want mom to come, and we want grandma to come, and we want dad to come, and that's what Sunday school is all about.
I just have five little kids in my class, and those are the only five little kids I'm worried about.
No, you ought to be worried about this little kid and all of their extended family, and this little kid and all of their extended family, and this little kid and all their extended family. That's what a Sunday school teacher's heart and burden is all about. Reaching others. You should strive to win your students to Christ. Lead them to follow the Lord in believers' baptism and, if you will, church membership and discipleship, etc. Set the example by faithfully attending church, going soul winning, participating in the church's programs. You should try to enroll as many students as possible. Dr. Smith always said, Sunday school should be one of the easiest things to join. It should be. Because we want to try to get them into church. We want to try to get them saved. We want to try to, get them into these things. You ought to try to enlist as many people possible in your class. Now, obviously, if one of your students has you're teaching a girls' class and one of your students has a little brother, you're not going to enroll him in your class, okay? So you can help the other teacher grow their class, all right? Etc. Now, you should lead them, if you will, where they're supposed to go, I mean, between services, etc. You should promote the pastor's plans and programs in your class. I'm not asking our Sunday school teachers to do this, but I know in many bus ministries, they'll have the pastor's picture up there in the front of the bus. All right? And just because many of these kids don't even know who the pastor is, just so they can recognize who the pastor is. Now, hopefully all you kids recognize me, right? What if I were to come to church next Sunday and just have shaved my beard off? What do you think? Should I do that? No, I don't think so. Been there, done that. I already got the t-shirt. But you should be able to recognize your pastor. That's a good thing, you know. And promote the pastor's plans and programs that he has for the church. By the way, and I'm not saying this for my own benefit, but people should honor the pastor. You know, don't undermine the pastor. Anytime an authority undermines another authority, all you're doing is shooting yourself in the foot. So don't do that. And I'm not just saying that on my behalf. That's a biblical principle. Visit absentees. Be in contact with people. Keep attendance and membership records of your class. You know, be a good organizer. Be a good statistician, if you will. Be aware of what's going on as a teacher. That's a good way to be a teacher. And to build those relationships with young people, okay? All right? I have so much more. But anyways, being a Sunday... And I'm not trying to scare you away from being a Sunday school teacher. I'm just trying to emphasize that being a Sunday school teacher and being as part of the teaching ministry of a church is a very high level of responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. And listen, it is great if you have a desire to be a teacher in a Sunday school class. I think that's wonderful. And you know what? We all should probably get to the point in our lives where we want to be a teacher. Now you can start out as a helper. You can start out as just a servant or whatever. You can start out in the lower levels and work your way up to it. I'm not going to ask somebody who's newly saved, you know, just about 3 or 4 weeks, hey, would you teach a Sunday school class? Okay, again, that's not smart. All right, but you know what? Maybe after several years of growing and learning and honing your skills and et cetera, maybe one day you can be a teacher in a Sunday school class. And you know, if you've been saved 10, 15, 20 years,
Maybe you should be teaching a Sunday school class if you're not already. It's just something that we all should probably grow to the point to do. Because guess what? I haven't yet been a part of a ministry that has, we've got enough workers. We don't need any more workers. I have never heard a pastor say that ever. Nope, we don't need any more help. We're good. Usually a pastor has a list of things he wants to fill and doesn't have a list of people to fill them with. That's usually the case. And so be mindful of these things as we continue to think about what we can do for the Lord. That's enough for tonight. We'll catch up the rest of this later on. I was gonna read one more verse. Well, I think I will. No, I won't. Out of time. Okay. I'm arguing with myself. Don't listen. Okay. But we need to be mindful of the things and the principles that God has as we mature as believers in Christ, as members of a local body of believers.